Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Mercy. Hello, Mercy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Lovely, lovely. Now, we're talking about the effects of internet addiction on family relationships. And, of course, the internet addiction is defined as an overwhelming and uncontrollable drive to use the internet, frequently at the expense of one's job, daily life, personal relationships, and overall well-being of an individual. But with internet being, a necessity for most people, how can we tell when we cross over from healthy to the unhealthy use of the internet? Now, Mercy, people use the internet for work, study, research, communication, navigation, and many other things. At what point does it become unhealthy? What are the symptoms that show that the person is now addicted to the internet?
Thank you so much, Zama, for having me. And I think that's an important question to start the discussion on. That definition that you opened with is one of the key factors where your use of internet has become compulsive and is now affecting your functionality, whether you are a student, a mom, a child in the home, a dad, an accountant somewhere, a radio presenter, for example. So if you're using the internet to find, to research subjects for your discussions on AWR, it only becomes an addiction when that becomes compulsive and it no longer serves the purpose of your function or the roles that you play.
Yeah.
And the other factor is that addiction speaks to the reward system that we are created with God, where you are now filling a certain void with the use of internet. You are supposed to be using other things to feel good about yourself, to boost your mood. For example, we use exercise, interacting with friends and family. And instead of that, you then turn to internet usage, because research has shown that we do know that it does feel good. So scrolling, the use of the internet, social media and all those things, they trigger our brains to release a chemical called dopamine, which makes us feel good. Unfortunately, it releases too much.
Okay.
And this is why we then go to it compulsively and we can't control it. So it's not so much about just how much time you spend on the internet. It has to do with, are you feeling a certain void? Is it affecting your functionality? And are you unable to stop even when you can see the negative effects it has on your life?
Yeah, man, it can be quite detrimental to one's life, I must say. Now, what would you say are the consequences of neglecting family relationships in favor of the online interactions and mentions?
I think it comes on several levels. The most basic one is it takes away the time you have with your family. Because already on a typical day, let's say it's a family with parents who work, maybe one parent works, the one is at home, the kids go to school. You go your separate ways at about 8 a.m. in the morning, and then you meet again, say 5, 6. And then if you're all meeting and a good number of you are on your gadgets, it means you're spending maybe an hour maximum with quality conversation and just knowing what's going on. So it takes away your time for quality interactions. And the end result is that you can start to feel lonely in a house that is full of people because you're not interacting together. So already that affects the relationship. But I think the other thing is that the way you interact with even this conversation I'm having with you now, it would look and feel quite different if we were sitting face to face to each other. So because we're not spending time with face-to-face interaction, our ability to do that, to read emotions on people's faces, excuse me, to read social cues is reduced, because now we are looking at a screen or listening to voices. We're not talking to each other. And so you can actually miss when your child or your partner is going through something, because we're not paying attention to that anymore. And we are unable to support one another. And again, that loneliness creeps in. And sometimes your child can be going through something. Maybe your child is being bullied, but you don't notice, because you either don't have the time, or you're just no longer emotionally cued to notice that, you know, she's not usually like this. She's looking a little bit off. Could something be going on?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're spending so much time looking at screens or on the internet.
Mm. Yeah. Now, are there tips that you have that we can use to, you know, maybe help maintain a balanced relationship with the internet usage?
I think the first place to start is what you mentioned at the beginning, that the idea is not to demonize the internet or our gadgets, because they do bring a lot of good. It's sort of, I would liken it perhaps to maybe a food addiction,
mm-hmm.
or a sex addiction, for example. We're not saying stop eating,
mm-hmm.
but pay attention to what you're eating. So what are you looking for on the internet? And how much are you consuming the internet, so to speak? And so it's what is it? How much and the duration, how long. So we're not trying to say don't do it, but watch out for those. So maybe one of the first tips would just be carve out times in your day,
mm-hmm.
where there's no gadgets, where you're just talking to the people in your home, particularly at home. I think it's very important, where you're just talking and interacting. A good one is to say when you're eating together, no gadgets. No phones on the table or in the lounge, wherever it is you take your meals. Just look at each other in the face. Talk. What happened to you today? How did what such and such go? You know what can happen in a family? A child or a family member can have like a memorable activity happen to them, and nobody takes notice because you forgot, because you were busy, and they go through it. Either they achieve something and no one says congratulations or how did that go? That must have been stressful. So put your gadgets down. Also maybe restrictions around how gadgets in bedrooms, gadget usage in the bedrooms, particularly for children. Kids really don't need phones in their bedrooms, because this is where cyber bullies and predators get to our kids when they're on their phones in our absence, apart from the addiction. So carve out times. And the other tip, just regarding what are you looking for, is really around mindfulness. Being aware of what you're doing instead of just mindlessly picking up your phone. It's almost like we are now scared of being bored.
Yeah, true.
If you notice, if you're standing in a queue or at Checkers, there's like three people in front of you, you whip out your phone. And because we don't want to sit in our own thoughts, or just look around and be aware, of what is going on around you. So that mindfulness to say, I'm here now in the queue at Checkers, I'm just going to be in Checkers, and allow ourselves to be, our bodies and our minds, to be at the place that we are. Real rules around what do I search for. So some of the things we access on the internet is pornography. It's social media. It's gambling. Those are some of the things that get people hooked. So your values and your value system will tell you what is right and what is wrong to be consuming. And I mean, we talk about guarding the avenues to your soul.
The
thing with internet is it's not just going through your eyes. It's going through your eyes right to the brain centers that deal with some really deep stuff.
To your heart.
So,
even.
to your heart even. So guard those avenues to your soul and consider that you are made in the image of God. You are a temple of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So you've got to be careful what you're consuming with your eyes, with your ears. A lot of things that we watch on TikTok say that are quite funny. They are funny.
Yeah.
But are they, is that really what you want to be feeding your mind with? Because we are not aware of when those things we are feeding on are going to affect a decision you need to make one day.
True. Oh my goodness. And it actually, I take it as a slow poison, because you will not know at what point did it hit you that you're now letting important things slide because one is sitting on social media, one is enjoying a good laugh, because people make content these and they want people to watch their content. And some of these are simply just joking around and stuff like that, nothing educational at all. And I think we are people who have become quite averse to educational content, and we just want content that is gossip, that is juicy, and we thrive for that. And I think it's an unfortunate indictment to our generation, honestly.
Yeah, no, you're very right. And the more scandalous, the more outrageous is the more views you get.
All right. How do we then help somebody that is very clearly addicted and helpless with the internet?
So in the medical field, internet addiction is not as yet a separate category on its own, but you will find porn addiction, gambling, that is recognized. I think the important thing is to note, is it affecting their functioning? Are they spending excessive amounts of money on it, for example? Are they failing out of school, unable to get a job? That's acknowledged. We have a problem. There are some mental health providers that can help you to not stop using the internet, but to put boundaries in place so that you limit what you're watching. So if it was pornography, getting accountability around searching those sites, delete certain things. But I think if it's an addiction really that is affecting your life and your functioning, you might actually need professional help, because now it has gone into the physiology of your body and your own hormones are driving you to it. And so you might need a helping hand there. It's quite different from just excessive use, where you can replace it with something else. And I think that's another something else to help somebody, to say, identify other healthy things that make you feel good. Sometimes scrolling and the internet is filling a real need of numbing pain and filling an emotional void. So then identify healthier ways of coping with stress, coping with your grief, coping with your depression, for example. So things like exercise, finding an exercise you enjoy, going to the gym or walking, social connection. Cultivate your social connection. Seek out those people that have maybe even looked for you, but you didn't have time for them. And therefore replace that internet time with virtual friends, with actual real people. And I also just believe in prayer, because these bodies were made by God. He's the one who made the reward system that is now being exploited by these gadgets. To pray for healing, like literally. Pray that you are healed and you have desire for things that are healthier. Because God is the one who made us with the ability to make happy hormones, right? All these dopamines and ETC. And he's also created healthier ways of us to tap into those. So that is your exercise, that is eating food that you enjoy, listening to good music, volunteering. Find a place where you can volunteer. That makes you feel good. You know, if you go like to an orphanage and you donate something, or you donate your time and you look at those kids so happy, there's something that happens in your body and in your brain. So tap into those healthier ways of going out there being among people, helping, exercising, being out in nature, that also helps very well in reducing even stress. If you're using your gadget and internet to deal with stress, there are other ways of managing stress and anxiety and pain even that are healthier than using the internet and gadgets.
Now, my goodness, I just want to quickly check, you know, I don't know if there is a connection between the lack of or shortened focus, what is it called, attention.
Attention span,
and internet usage, because I discovered that with many children, attention span is reducing even further. Not only in children, by the way, with some adults as well. When one has to, you know, focus on something, pay attention, or maybe read a book, for example, it now becomes a very short span thing because of this. I think because of the internet, is it? Is there a correlation?
So the research is still accumulating. We don't have as much of it as, you know, other things that have been studied for longer. Because, you know what, actually, cell phones have only been around for like 15 years. And the internet, and yet they've taken over our entire lives. But the research that is there does seem to point, especially in children, does seem to point to the fact that gadgets and these fast-moving images, they interfere with the development of the brain infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, so a two-year-old already has a short attention span, and it's supposed to increase as they grow older. They increase their attention, being able to focus, being able to understand abstract concepts, for example. But now gadgets and screens and the internet, they interfere with the development of that.
Mm.
And so you find that children who use who have a lot of screen time don't read as well as people of the same age who don't use as much screen time. They don't read as well. And if they do, they are not able to read to understand. You know, when we used to do comprehension.
Yes.
So they can read the words maybe, but not be able to understand. They don't know how to spell. Because when you're texting, you don't spell very well.
Yes, you use text language.
Right. You use text language. And so definitely it not only interferes with attention span, it also interferes with mood regulation. Because, it's also the things that you're watching there. So a child does not develop their ability to regulate their mood in the natural way that they're supposed to. So that affects, definitely the research seems to be pointing that way, although I think there's more that needs to be done around the neuroscience of it. What we definitely know, though, is that it interferes with a lot of, because a young child's brain is still developing, the actual cells are making certain connections, and there are certain connections that need a child to be touching grass and sand and moving their limbs, climbing a jungle gym or whatever, for those connections to be made. And if they are not doing that, you interfere with that.
Mercy, I must let you go. And thank you so much for engaging us this afternoon. I think it's an important subject that we need to continuously talk about, so that many of us get out of the pit, because I believe that it's a dark pit that very soon will entrap people, and people will not get out of it and will cause many failures in one's life. And so it's a very, very important discussion. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you for having me, Zama.
Lovely. Thank you, Mercy.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.